Good morning. I hope everyone has been able to enjoy the winter weather this past week. I know our kids have been enjoying it, and I hope that the beauty of the falling flakes and clean white blanket was able to remind you of how our loving Heavenly Father can wipe our sins clean. But the second good news is that it's warming back up this week.
Okay. Many activities are coming up this week, so please read through the bulletin carefully. A special note, a few things, is the choir resumes this Thursday, January 25th at 6 p.m., and the annual membership meeting will be on Sunday, February 4th at 2 p.m. in the sanctuary. Everyone's invited to attend. The meeting booklets will be emailed, and a new hard copy will be available after the service at the back. Anyone interested in submitting related questions is asked to email them or place the questions into the donations box by next Sunday. Additionally, following the worship on Sunday, January 28th, you're invited to stay for a short presentation from Pastor Tim around the new 2024 visioning process. Also, a note, as many people have realized, it's fairly cold in here right now, so just remember that as you go past the donation bin on the way out. I'm just kidding. Something happened with the thermostat. The church thought it was Tuesday, so it wasn't warming up. The heater is working, the furnace is going, so it will warm up through the surface to a normal temperature. So it's already been fixed, it's just a bit delayed.
Please bow with us for prayer. Dear God, you are all-knowing and powerful. You are loving and compassionate. We thank you for the many good things in our lives. There are times fears, inconveniences, and greed can hide your blessings from us. Help us to focus on you so that we may be a blessing to others and so that our cups can overflow with your joy. In Jesus' name, amen. John, Ed, Heidi, and Pastor Tim will now lead us in worship.
If you'd please all stand for our first hymn together, it's Come Thou Almighty King. The words should be on the overhead, and also they are found in your hymnal, page number 4. We're doing verses 1, 3, and 4. His name, verses 1, 2, and 4. If you're comfortable still standing, you're welcome to do that. If you feel you want to sit down, you're welcome to do that also.
The Lord is King. His wondrous role, more gloriously.
582, also in your hymnal. I'm pressing on the upward way, and we'll do verses 1, 2, and 4. Difficulties with technical systems brings to mind that the value of retaining things in your mind without having something before you. And we all know as people age, we lose our capabilities, whether that's hearing or sight, but very often the memory, especially with songs, can continue. And if a person can retain those words, how valuable that could be. So let's keep that in mind also, right? Try to retain these words in our hearts and what they mean. Thank you.
After having one child, I forgot a lot of things. After having two children, I remember nothing. So I have things written down, like the older person that I am. Just a couple of announcements. We will have those annual reports placed out at the back on your way out. We'll have those emailed out as well. Yes, there is that meeting next week. You don't want to miss it. It'll be fun. We'll take a few questions, unless your questions are too hard. Then I might pass. We do have our St. Catherine's UM101 class. This is a class for people who are interested in learning more about the church. If you're interested maybe in membership or baptism, please let me know afterward. We've already started scheduling with our group. We have a group together. We're looking at Sunday nights at 7 o'clock, and we'll try to make that work around those who really enjoy football, as Super Bowl Sunday is coming up. Please pray for our Buffalo Bills today as well, because if you followed the Buffalo Bills at all, they desperately need your prayers over the years. Ooh, you say that like I didn't experience this in real time. I remember crying as a child. Just before we take our any sharing moments. So if you have any prayer requests to share, please raise your hand. I did speak with Elizabeth Kopeski this morning just to let you know Ike had a stroke last week. He is currently in the hospital. Prayers are appreciated for the family, and they've asked for no visitors at this time as the floor he's on has some COVID as well. But we'll keep you up to date when they're able to have visitors. Elizabeth was hoping that Ike would be able to come home this week, but we'll see what the doctors have to say. Anything else? Please raise your hand. Any other joys to share or prayer concerns? And children, you can also raise your hand and share at this time too, because you are our church as well. I see some parents working through their children to say, no, I understand. I've seen my children with a microphone before. Well, if there's nothing to share right now, please note you can send those in by email, or you can write notes for us if you're uncomfortable sharing in front of everybody, and we can pray for you still, or we can share that with others if that is what you would like. As we pray together, a reminder at the end, we will do the Lord's Prayer. We'll have that up on the screen, but you're welcome to pray the Lord's Prayer in whatever your heart language is, whatever version that is. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are good. We thank you that you are a God who draws near. Lord, remind us again that you continue to draw near. That wherever we go, wherever our footsteps may take us, there you are. Give us eyes to see the love you have sprouting up all around us, that new hope, that new life. And work through our feet and our hands so that we may be a part of bringing that hope to our neighbors. As we think of all of those throughout the world, Lord, who are hurting from sickness, from loneliness, from hunger, addiction, warfare. Lord, the many reasons, have mercy. We recognize, Lord, that you are fully in control, and we continue to long for the day where you go and make all things whole again. As we bring our tithes and offerings to you, we recognize that everything we have belongs to you. Thank you for being so generous and giving us so much. Use what we give to help bring about that hope for our neighbors and throughout the world, so that through our lives and by our prayers, we might see your kingdom come and your will be done right here in St. Catharines and throughout the world. In all things, Lord, we pray that you would help us to remember that we are your beloved children. Help us to remember who we are as we leave this place. Help us to remember how to share that love with others. And friends, I invite you to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
I now invite any children to come forward, please. All right, as we wait for our last few friends to join us, I have something very special to share with you today. I actually just finished digging it up because I had it hidden away in a very special spot in my house. It's very cool what's in here, but the thing is I hid it away because I didn't want anything to happen to it. It's so special that I'm actually not even quite sure if I want to show you, because if I show you, you might get it dirty, or you might breathe on it, or something bad could just happen to it. So maybe I should just hide it away forever. That would keep it safe, right? If I just never show anyone? No? Okay, what do you guys think could be in my box? What could be hidden away in here? Jewels? Anything? Anyone else have an idea? Okay, well, I did dig it up just for today, so maybe I could show you. Do I have a volunteer who can come sneak peek? Callan, want to come take a look? What's inside my bin? Jewelry. I have jewelry inside of here. Now, this isn't just any jewelry. This is very special jewelry. It's very expensive, some of it. Some of it's been gifted to me from family members or from friends, and I never really wear it because I'm worried that if I do wear it, I might break it, or it might get dirty, or it might get lost. So maybe I should just put it away forever, right, to keep it safe.
No?
No, you're right, because if I keep it locked away forever, I don't get to enjoy them, or other people don't get to enjoy them and see how special they are. If I put the box away forever, I can't get to share the gift with others. So, you know, this actually reminds me of a story that Jesus talks about. In the Bible, Jesus talked about someone who gave money to three of his servants before going on a trip. The man gave different amounts to each person, and he wanted them to use the money wisely. Well, two of the men did what they were supposed to, and they used the money to make more money. But another servant, who had the smallest amount of money, he refused to use it or spend it. He was worried, so he buried his money, kind of like I did with my jewelry. But when his master came back, he was pleased with the two servants who used their money and earned more, and he was angry with the one who hid it away. He said, at least the man could have put the money in the bank, maybe earned some interest, but he didn't do what was intended with the gift. Now, why would Jesus tell a story like this? We know that his stories always have a purpose, and in this one, he wanted to remind us that God gives us special gifts and wants us to use them well. Some people are talented in school, maybe others are really good at sports. Maybe you have a talent for singing or making friends. Well, none of those things will do you much good if you just put them away and hide them. For example, if you're really good at painting and you hide away all of your art supplies, you can't share that gift with others around you. God doesn't want us to hide or hold on to what we have. He wants us to use it to bless those around us. So maybe like money or toys or our gifts, we want to share them with those around us. All right, can we pray? Dear God, we know you give us special gifts and blessings. Help us to use them to bless others and those around us. Amen.
Good morning. Today I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
My friend Sherry Michaels will be sharing a message with us. She is a Master of Divinity student in Hamilton at McMaster, where I also went, and I hear very good things. So please do not judge my sermons after hearing how good she is today. Thank you.
Oh. Yes?
Is the lapel mic on? No? There we go. Hi. Good morning, everybody. Oh, excellent. You're awake. All right. My slides are up. Everything's good. So thank you so much for having me here today. I'm so excited to be here with you. And today we're going to dive into something that I really, really love talking about, and that is Jesus' parables. And like was just read, we're going to be talking about the parable of the talents. Now, in the NIV, like we just read it, it's actually called the parable of the bags of gold. And in other Bibles, it's called the parable of the talents or the pounds. Either or, it's actually just talking about the same thing. But as many names as it has, there's also just as many interpretations of this parable. But I'd say the most common understanding and interpretation of this, and we've probably, if you've been in the church for any length of time, you've probably heard it. It's about stewardship. Now, stewardship in this interpretation, the bags of gold represent a person's abilities and gifts and talents. The master, who is Christ, he's entrusted these gifts to people to steward and to grow for his kingdom until he returns. And in this translation of the parable, the third slave is disobedient because he doesn't steward his gifts appropriately. Now, that's fine. And it preaches well. It's not controversial, and no one's going to get an angry email the next day if someone preaches that. And if you're someone who believes that what's important in life is how much you can gain for God or the church or yourself through your talents and abilities, then this interpretation is for you. In fact, this interpretation of the parable is often the basis for a lot of the prosperity gospel messages that we see sometimes in churches today. But I think that this parable actually has more for us than that. Now, don't get me wrong, I do think that the talents or the bags of gold are representative of what we've been gifted with. That can include our abilities, but it also means things like your finances, your privilege, your education, your knowledge. Everything that you're able to utilize in your life is included in your bag of gold. And they're not only the big, obvious things either. Like the parable tells us, each receives according to their ability. But we need to remember that ability doesn't equal importance. Just because I'm up here with a microphone does not mean that I am in any way, shape, or form more important than any one of you. It just means that my talent, my bag of gold, if you will, is more visible than some others. And just because someone has influence or wealth or power, it doesn't mean that they are more important or their work is more important to God than someone who has less. What it does mean, though, is that that person has more responsibility. Because one day everyone will be called to account for what they did with their gifts, big or small. So I'm not going to argue today that stewardship has nothing to do with this parable, because it does. But what I'm saying is that that's not where this message ends. So why do I say that? Well, let's look a little closer at what we know about this parable. Number one, we know that Jesus is using this parable to talk about what the kingdom of heaven is like. He's continuing his conversation from a previous parable.
And we see this in verse 1 when he says, again, it will be like. It is the kingdom of heaven. Number 2, we know that the man in this is Christ. And we know that because it's repeated in other parables of waiting for someone's return. Whether it's a bridegroom or a master, a king or a landowner, the one who is returning is always Christ. And number 3, we know that the bag of gold spoken of, also known as a talent, is a specific unit of measurement. In fact, it's 80 pounds of gold or silver, and it's actually worth about 16 years of wages. Now, if we take today's minimum wage, by today's standard of $15 for an hour, one talent is worth $500,000. So this master was handing over an incredibly large amount of money to each of his servants. In fact, he's giving everything he has to these servants. And it seems that the first two servants are in the know about what they're supposed to do with it, the responsibility that came with it. They both go out and it says they invest it and double it. But it says the third servant digs a hole in the ground and hides the money. And at this point in the parable, we're not sure why yet. But eventually the master returns and the first two servants tell him all about their success. He responds in exactly the same way to each of them. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things and I'll put you in charge of many things. Do you notice? What is he complimenting these servants on? Was it their investment abilities? Their productivity? Their resourcefulness? Or even their stewardship? No. He's commenting on their faithfulness. Now, some of you might be thinking, okay, Sherry, you say faithfulness like we're supposed to know what that means. Kind of sounds like one of those Christian jargon words. What is faithfulness to God? What does it look like in real life? Well, faithfulness to God means that we recognize that God loves us. We trust that God cares for us. We follow where God leads us. And we love God in response to that. Through these acts of faithfulness, our lives will bear fruit. They'll be filled and overflow with actions that show love and help grow the kingdom of God. So these servants were faithful to their master, not in their actions toward the money, but their trust in their master. They understood who their master was. They recognized their master's generosity. They understood the relationship that they had with their master, and they understood what he expected of them. And they were given faithful to act according to the amount the master had given them. And regardless of how much they earned with their talents, at the end of the conversation, both men received the exact same response to their faithfulness. Because faithfulness isn't about productiveness. We can't produce. God produces. We can only be faithful with what we've been given and trust that God will bless our faithfulness. Our faithfulness is the work. We're responsible for the work, and God is responsible for the results that come from that work. Now we move on to the third servant, and I think this is the character in this story that we're supposed to be paying attention to. Because the other two servants, they set a baseline. Suddenly, we have this character who's acting differently, and he's being responded to differently than the others. And this difference is important. The servant says, "Master, I knew you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." Why is he afraid? What did he see or understand about his master that the others didn't? Because I'm under the distinct impression that this third servant's understanding of his master isn't correct at all. The other two certainly weren't afraid of their master. This man had entrusted large amounts of money to each of them, so if nothing else, he's at least trusting and generous. But we need to consider this servant's fear, because it's the servant's fear that causes him to behave differently and receive punishment. The servant's fear of the master is paralyzing. He is so scared of his master that his fear prevents him from taking any chances with his bag of money. So instead of honoring this valuable gift, he buries it in the hopes that, if nothing else, he'll be able to return his master's money to him. And at face value, that doesn't seem so horrible. But the master calls him wicked and lazy. The master then takes the one talent from the third slave and gives it to the servant with 10 talents. And then he casts the third servant into darkness. This servant was afraid, and the parable was Jesus' way of teaching that in our relationship with God, fear will impede our ability to do good work with what we're called to do. Fear will make laziness a good option, because in fear, doing nothing is better than messing up. Now, there are different kinds of fear. And the first fear is the fear we often speak of. It is, by definition, an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain, or is a threat. Read that again. Dangerous, likely to cause pain, or is a threat. That doesn't sound like the God that I worship. That doesn't sound like Jesus. But there's a different definition of fear for when we say things like the fear of the Lord. It's a little bit more old-fashioned. We don't use it as much. But this is the kind of fear that's a mixed feeling of dread and reverence. When we have a healthy view of God, we recognize and respect God's unlimited power. Because unlimited power is scary. Trust me, I've read too many Old Testament smiting stories not to believe that God's power can be scary. But we also need to recognize that as God's children, we are safe and even protected because of that power. We trust that our Heavenly Father, He's got our backs. And if we do mess up, we don't need to be scared of God, because God loves us. And we need to live like mercy is real. I'd like to share a short story to help further illustrate the difference between these two types of fear. Now, I'm a parent. And once and only once in my parenting career have I gone full mama bear rage monster on somebody who actually, an adult somebody, I'll have to clarify that, who threatened my oldest son when he was about 10 years old. I was very mad, and I was very, very loud. And I could tell that the individual that was on the receiving end of my anger was scared of me. And to be fair, it wasn't without merit. I was furious. But my son was right behind me. And he heard and he saw the exact same words that were coming out of my mouth. And he wasn't scared. Because he understood that my anger and power were being used to protect him. And although I could become angry like that with him, I would never do that. Because of our relationship, I would never, ever let that happen. He knew the kind of mother I was. He understood who I was, and he trusted me. This is what I understand that second kind of fear to be. Dread, because there's the acknowledgement of the reality of power, and reverence, because there's a trust and an understanding of the relationship and there's a balance. It's beautiful. But the kind of fear, this kind of fear, requires a close and healthy relationship. And the way that the third servant was acting, we can tell that he was experiencing an unhealthy fear of his master. And Jesus is telling us we don't need to be afraid of God if we're faithful to God. But we can't do this if we don't understand our relationship with God. Here's a question for you. You don't have to raise your hands, but I definitely am going to. How many of us have experienced a culture of fear in the church at some point? Because I know that I definitely, definitely have. When I was younger, I was taught to fear God, but not reverentially. I was taught to be afraid of God in the same way that the servant was afraid of his master. I was always afraid of making God mad at me. I was afraid of doing the tiniest, itty-bitty little thing wrong and ending up on the receiving end of God's wrath. And the problem is, this kind of fear ignores God's mercy and God's grace. And this is the fear that paralyzes you and makes you so scared of messing up that you just don't do anything. While studying this parable, I wondered at one point, what would have happened had the third servant tried to invest his money and lost it in the process? Would the master have been just as mad at him? Because I don't think so. And I say that because when we consider biblical examples of highly esteemed individuals, we have to acknowledge that they messed up a lot. King David coveted, committed adultery, lied, and murdered. We have disciples cutting off soldiers' ears and denying Jesus. God still loved these people in their failings, and he used their faithful work for God's glory. Because God understands that people are human, and humans will fail. And I don't think the master would have cared if the servant tried and failed, because the failure of the third servant isn't a lack of productiveness. It was laziness that stemmed from and was justified in his mind by fear. The servant was scared of his master, and he was scared of the work that it would take, and he was scared of failing. I don't think this should be called the parable of the talents or the parable of the bags of gold, because it's not about that. I personally think it should be called the parable of misunderstood master, but I don't get to name things in the Bible. This is a parable about being in relationship with your master, Jesus. It's about recognizing that our master is generous and demanding and loving and merciful. And it's about recognizing your very life as a gift for which you have an opportunity every single day to try and learn and succeed and possibly fail, all for the glory of God. So finally, how do we live in faithfulness to God with our gifts? Number one, pray. You need to talk to God. You need to learn who God is in relationship with you. If you don't know what your bag of gold is, sit with God and ask. God will let you know. If you don't know how to use your bag of gold, ask. God will let you know. Sit in the presence of God and wait. Listen. Pray. God will let you know. Maybe it's obvious. Maybe it'll be a huge surprise. Those ones are fun. But trust in God's plan. Number two. Nope. All right. Practice. There it is. When God tells you what your bag of gold is, you need to hone it. I would absolutely love to believe that I'm in a room full of prodigies, but the reality is, for most of us, our gift or ability is something that will need to be honed, practiced, and grown. Your gift, it isn't magic. The musicians that were up here, they practice and continue to hone and learn their gift. Pastors, we practice and continue to learn. Whatever it is that God's calling you to use in the church for the kingdom, you need to take on the responsibility of practicing, learning, and growing. And slide number 3 here, we have to participate. Once you pray and practice, it's time to put that ability to use. Because unless you bring it to God for God's purposes, it's just a hobby. It's something you do for yourself. And a lot of God's gifts aren't just intended to be kept for yourself. Maybe you don't know how God will use your gift, but I promise God knows. So trust in God and be faithful. Participate in the work of the kingdom in only the way you can. I'm on this journey myself. As someone who's in seminary, I've been sitting with my gifts and my talents. And I've been asking how to bring them to God. I've been asking God, how am I supposed to use what I've been given? And something that God has brought to me is the understanding that the church is about participating. Yes, as a pastor, I definitely have a role in that. But the fun thing is, so do each of you. The church is not a place to only come and be fed or receive. The church is a place to come and bring your gift as an offering to God. And if everyone in the church does that, everyone will also be fed. It's kind of like potluck. Everyone eats when everyone brings food. So pray, practice, participate. And if we do that, maybe one day we'll too get to hear those beautiful words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in reverential fear. We acknowledge your mighty power and also your loving mercy and grace. We thank you for the gifts you've given to each of us, and we ask that you would help us discover your purposes in these gifts. We ask that we would not be like the third servant, but that we would be brave and bold, seeking to honor you with our talents. Through this, may only your will be done, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing with us this morning, Sherry. May God bless you as you continue your studies. Please join together as we sing our closing song together. It's found in hymnal page 572, titled "Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us." We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 3. And if you would stand for that, if you're able to, please join in.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us, as we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us, for our roof and bones prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us. We are guiding of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, see us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hero, hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hero, hear us when we pray.
Now receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May you know your good master's love, and may you follow him. Go in God's peace. Amen.
Amen.